I have absolutely nothing to
contribute.
I'm sorry, you guys. I'm an award-winning karaoke performer. I can't take part in this. Did that sound really dickish?
Did they get a trophy?
Only a lot.
Yes, a copper mug from Stoli and a $25 gift certificate and a towel from some brand of booze I've never heard of, which I had draped around me and I did the Rocky Run. I almost asked for a hand recount of all the dangling chads, but then I realized that's really dangerous to do in a gay bar. Like, so I need just... to... Oh my god.
Welcome to PortableChicken.com. This is Jeff, and of course to my left we have...
The Notorious R.O.B.
And across stage in the fourth chair we have...
Steve-O.
And to my right...
The Insidious Alex.
And
I'm
all...
copying.
The Insidious
the
Alex?
The Insidious Alex.
Are you chapter one or chapter two?
So we're going with Insidious Alex now.
No, we're not dealing with anything.
He's spiting me. Yes. It's fine.
So anyway, the award-winning Notorious R.O.B. What was the song that got it for you?
In a move that will be absolutely surprising to no one, I chose to perform Poor Unfortunate Souls from The Little Mermaid.
Your Ursula impression is impeccable. That's
Thank
true.
Thank you. Thank you. I have my moments, and apparently it was a good night for it. So,
including
it
Ursula
happened.
Running out with a towel into another bar.
Mm-hmm. Doing the Rocky Run. Not just running, because that involves a lot of flailing, typically, if you're me. But, no, I did the Rocky Run. You know, da-da-da, arms above my head, da-da-da. Yeah. And nobody noticed because it was loud and late and people were drunk. So by the time we got to the bar, Mark was like, what are you doing? Okay. Brr. And that's when it kind of happened. So
that's when I saw you.
Yeah. Because you were like, what's up with a towel?
And unlike the Red Hot Chili Peppers, your microphone was actually plugged in.
It was very much plugged in. I did not mime or lip sync anything.
Hey, to be fair, the Red Hot Chili Peppers were singing. Their guitars were just not plugged in.
So it was the Red Hot Chili Peppers unplugged.
It gave it away, gave it away, gave it away now. Give it away.
I've always wanted to see them unplugged.
Was Bruno, did anybody see if Bruno was lip syncing or not? I think he was in the last song.
I always presume they are at the Super Bowl just because it's so hard to get those setups done. And sure. And honestly, no one in the Meadowlands and that sort of temperature cares if anyone's really performing or not.
Well, I always listen for the subtle
like the
off-key.
Fireworks.
You know, things, and on the right. first, on the, when he started out the performance, I could hear him off a little bit, and so I was like, okay, awesome, he's doing this for real.
So it might have been like a ghosting track with a little bit of mixed in, like just cut it away at the right moments.
Yeah, they gotta have a guide track on that one.
Yeah,
there's
somewhere.
No way to keep pitch in that stadium.
Yeah. So that happened, and New Jersey apparently handled their cold okay. It was a snowed in stadium the next day. And Steve-O wants to call us out on something we talked about last
yeah.
week.
Speaking
what's,
of snow.
What's that all about?
Well, I heard you guys, you posted the episode, right? Episode 6?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. To begin with, where were you last week?
I was working.
Okay. Carry on.
Okay. Thank you. I was listening to your little segment about the snowmageddon that happened in Atlanta.
None of us called it snowmageddon.
I think
yeah, I
we might have
called
it a snowpocalypse, but I don't think we called it snowmageddon.
So, and you said, what's the difference, or what's more dangerous, 3 inches of water, 3 inches of snow?
Water, every time.
Okay, but what's more dangerous than that? An eighth of an inch of ice on the road. That's the difference, is ice.
Science.
When you're down south, when that comes in, it's really hot. And then all of a sudden it drops the temperature, and so everything that's hitting the ground is freezing rain, sleet, and it's not really freezing yet, but freezing rain and a little bit of sleet and maybe some snow, and it slowly transitions into snow as it gets colder, but then once it gets cold enough, it freezes, right?
Yeah, and I think we all know that part.
I don't know
no
how
one is, no
water
one is surprised
becomes
there's a huge
ice.
Difference in driving and on the side roads of 3 inches of snow in Denver.
What I find amazing about this, Steve, is that people seem to think that we've never driven in the South while it's cold or while there's an ice storm or anything else like that. That's the part, like, we've done that. We get that. Just like, you know, people can comprehend the snow is different here. We can comprehend the snow is different there. That part wasn't the part that threw anybody off.
Why did the city shut down?
Mainly because
that was the problem.
That was the problem, and I did finally find
there's ice on the road.
Well,
and it's in the middle of rush hour. It came while everybody was right in school.
Well,
and
it was more than that.
People were sleeping in their offices.
It was more than
more
that.
Than 20 feet.
So I finally did get my answer, which was that not only it wasn't rush hour because the city is not even really engineered to handle rush hour well.
In general, yeah.
Yeah, it's a terrible layout. Like, in general, like it's done. They have basically the circular layout, much like LA does. Mm-hmm. So it has that the spiral around the city that was just kind of done so people could try and skirt the suburbs. So if you live on the south side of the city, you can take a job in the north side of the city. And that always, I mean, you're from Dallas. You've seen that clog up like mad. You know, that scene from Office Space over and over and over again, right? And the way that it happens, yeah, I know, Irving. Yeah. And what happened in this case is that usually they stagger it. In fact, there's people in Atlanta that are offset on their jobs, are allowed to take different shifts depending on traffic problems. And so traffic begins usually like 5 a.m. and lasts until 10 a.m. just depending on what shifts people are working. And the roads don't have the infrastructure to actually support all 6 million people being out there at once. That was a major cause. And as soon as you do that, even in a 12-lane highway, you have one person jack across it, that's it. Doesn't matter if 9 people know how to drive in that shit, one's done. But it was the city infrastructure that was actually more of the cause than anything else. That was the answer I was looking for. When I originally posted that, because I was like, well, how the hell does 2 inches of snow, I said 3 originally, shut down 6 million people for 2 days is the part that threw me off. And the answer was bad city planning. That's
mm-hmm. Well, and people... And I don't like this excuse. Well, they don't know how to drive, which that's bullshit. You can't drive on ice. That doesn't matter. I mean, and that was the whole thing. That's what I saw was that it was the ice and it wasn't snow.
And that's right? that's what seemed to be. Like, everyone took to that point, and it seemed to be like, well, are you just one of those people? I mean, every internet site was doing their whole complaint about snow and the jokes on YouTube and everything else going on. And what was going on was actually that not everyone can drive on ice. It doesn't matter if you have people who are experienced on ice. If you have 1 in 10 that doesn't make it, it'll shut down the road if the road is full of people. And this point it was, you had usually a staggered onset of people that go through the city at rush hour or usually avoid highways. Suddenly the side streets were closed off. Everybody had to use the highway. Problem one. Problem two, everyone went at the same time. And then you had the potential of ice. So it was three things kind of compounding.
Yeah.
You also have a local government, a city government, and the county government, and state government all conflicting at the same time. Mm-hmm. The guy who actually runs the snow salting things and everything else like that is from Buffalo. So he knew a lot about that, but they put everything in the south first, even though they knew it was going to hit mid-city. The politicians were trying to dodge stuff in the middle of it, so that disinformation was throwing me off. And I'm just kind of a solve-the-puzzle kind of guy. But what I found interesting is as soon as I posted that, it seemed like we suddenly had the defensiveness of the people mm-hmm. from the south being like, Yankees don't know shit, and the people that are from up here that just, have been to the south once or twice are basically like, well, they just can't drive there. I'm like, no. And it turned into an internet discussion.
Yeah.
Which the thing that I took away from that was that you should never actually post things on Facebook anymore to have a good discussion about things. I think that's the unique part of Facebook right now. It's just kind of messed up in general.
Speaking of posting things on the internet and Facebook, my dear friend Adam Caton Holland on Facebook. It's funny. I met him very briefly once, and I just think he's very funny. So I friend requested him, and I think he just accepts everybody's. But anyway, I thought he was really cool. Point is, he put something amazing. He was all, social media is, it should be the same rules as the dinner table. No religion or politics, and occasionally you fuck on it. And I just thought, oh, truer words have never been spoken.
But I feel you have to throw those out there. What I find, though, there's some sort of discourse that gets lost. Like, I think it's great to discuss religion or politics. Good example this week, Bill Nye and Ham debate.
As long as you're doing so respectfully and intelligently and not just like, fuck you, dude, you're stupid. No, fuck you back. You're stupider.
But that's, you can't do that. That's like expecting people in cars to not get road rage. You're protected by a digital barrier. You're not sitting in front of somebody. It's just like when you're in your car, somebody cuts you off, all of a sudden you've got balls the size of the car, and you're flipping them off, and you're cussing them out, rolling down the window,
doing everything.
But then once somebody
Facebook
gets out
is not
going to
run
like,
somebody into a ditch, whereas road rage is...
Well, yeah, it's thank God that nobody can actually hear what people are saying in their cars to other cars, because that's always entertaining, I'm one of those people, I kind of got over, car Tourette's a while ago, and traffic doesn't piss me off, but I realize I'm kind of in the minority in that world, close friends of mine, I just watch them yell at people in cars all day while they're driving, and I'm like, they can't hear you, but it's like a venting system. So I don't know if it's just like a natural tendency when we think that other people can't hear us, that we just go crazy, and I feel like the internet kind of put that barrier up, but it's not really there. So it's like, I'm going to express my opinion. Oh, yeah, but you can hear me. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, oh, you cut me off on Facebook.
All I'm going to say is that next time it snows over in Georgia, we got to get some flights there, and we got to rent a Corvette, and we need a bumper sticker that says, we're from the North. Here's how to drive.
Oh, snap.
North driving school. I love that it's coming from the guy from Miami.
Yeah, in all fairness.
Okay, so just to wrap it up, okay, I wasn't really defensive. I just didn't hear anybody bring up ice, and I know there was a lot of ice in that storm.
Yeah, I think what
and
we're...
The whole difference between, like, hydroplaning and 3 inches of snow. I mean...
And let's also be fair, we also got distracted by Dirty Tony.
Completely.
Well, he wasn't there for that part of the discussion.
Yeah, I know, but like...
Wait, wasn't he? Are you sure?
Once we were buried under that avalanche, we were getting back up, I guess. Yeah, it was an interesting week in general. I think that when we look at Super Bowl advertising was interesting, mm-hmm. where we had Coca-Cola doing a multilingual version of America the Beautiful, and people mistaking it for the national anthem.
Oh, that was glorious.
I find it amazing that people can get enraged and they don't know the song, but, you know, I get it.
Whichever.
I'm not sure if I saw more of people actually being enraged versus people enraged about people being enraged. On the internet, which is pretty typical per internet, going back to the Facebook
issue.
And
the trolls come in. And that's...
Yeah, then they just have to spin it up. It's like, are you upset about this? But it did get me thinking about this, is Coca-Cola has been a pretty big sponsor of the lesbian and gay community in general, and they are also a sponsor of the Winter Olympics. So I'm wondering if that particular advertisement, along with Cheerios looking at you, was really kind of a pre-apology for sponsoring Sochi. What do you think?
I think it's probably a rub against Putin. Like, Putin?
Here, Putin.
It's funny to use that in a conversation, rub and Putin.
Like, was it something where they should have added some Russian in just to, like, make a point about it?
Exactly.
Like, while the husbands were holding hands, like, add the Russian phrase in. Because it was only what, Spanish and Arabic, wasn't it?
Spanish, Arabic, and I think there was some Southeast Asian dialect in there.
Okay.
I'm fairly certain about that. Should have been a Russian, just saying.
Yeah, maybe some Russian. No French. Notice that, Canada. America's beautiful. We don't speak French.
You know what? I'm French, and that really bothers me. So I'm gonna drop my rifle and run away.
Good lord.
Funny fact.
What isn't bothering you this week? I mean, really.
I'm bitter. I missed a whole podcast. I'm bitter.
Aw, boo.
Aw, Steve-O's bitter. How bitter?
Like, you know when you bite into an apple?
Are you bitter like charred? That's pretty bitter.
It's more of emotionally... just hurt, and I didn't hear anybody.
You guys should see this pout right now, gentle listeners. You should really see this pout. It is the most epic shit-eating pout I have ever seen in my life.
And now the shit-eating grin.
And which has now segued seamlessly.
We were just talking about how sarcasm just doesn't get conveyed appropriately.
Oh,
well. Sarcasm's good for you.
It's good for you.
So commercials, I thought, honestly, that the Chihuahua one.
The Dober Wawa.
The Dober Wawa, yeah.
Oh, that was hilarious.
I felt like the commercials weren't that funny this year.
They weren't.
There was a lot more serious stuff going on. Even like the Morpheus Kia commercial was just like, not really that funny.
And here's the thing. You can be, you know, whimsical. You can be clever. You don't necessarily have to be funny, but there has to be a sort of spirit to it, a sort of attitude behind it, because this is your chance to literally show the world what your company, what your marketing arm is capable of. And there were, you think of even just a few years ago, you think of those iconic kind of running jokes from commercials of years past. I saw none of that this year. There is not going to be a single ad next year that people are going to go, oh, hey, remember that? No, they're not. They were too by the book. They were very run of the mill with very few exceptions. I don't think people really invested in them as creatively and as memorably as they typically do.
Yeah, was like last year we had the Doritos commercials that were kind of entertaining. I mean, there's at least a few memorable moments. This year I felt like it was serious commercial. Even GoDaddy with the I Quit My Job commercial, like kind of funny, but not really.
Yeah,
it's like,
it was almost dark
job.
In a way.
Really?
Yeah.
Have we turned that corner in the country?
To dark commercials?
Yes.
I mean, it made that Apple commercial from the 1980s look funny. It was just like dour. Like somebody just fed everyone lemons and then these commercials came out of it like lemons and tears and that's all we had.
I thought the main theme of it was of the car commercials doing the most ridiculously serious, what is going on with this? Where is this going? What are you trying to sell me? And I felt like every time you thought that, it turned out to be a car. And it's like, it has nothing to do with the car at all. Bugatti. You see the car for two
but
seconds.
But it does.
But the 1 minute commercial or the 30 second commercial is all about something completely irrelevant.
Well, that makes sense. It's like, where am I going with my life? What am I doing? I need to buy a car. It makes perfect sense. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Sochi commercials? Do you think they're actually going to spend some money on some decent commercials for that?
No.
No?
For the Olympics? Do they ever?
I mean, they do kind of.
They'll just promote.
I mean, I know there's
Olympic
a lot of
stuff.
I know there's a lot of bigger brands that, because it is literally that, you know, international audience, a lot of those bigger brands do kind of, you know, show up for that, but they don't necessarily do any that are necessarily, you know, funny or stand out in any way. I think it's just getting the name out there as opposed to the message.
It's more like treading water. So like Coca-Cola has to get their name out there so people remember, oh yeah, there's Coca-Cola, I forgot about them. You know, that's kind of how the Olympics are, because like international branding is really difficult too. When you think about it, like what Burger King's called Hungry Jack in Australia because the name was already taken. I mean, you've got like Coca-Cola.
I think
you've
it
got
should be called Hungry Jack here too. That's amazing.
Hungry Jack just—it sounds like we're getting close to Tim Hortons at that point. That's my only concern.
Well, that's okay, isn't it?
Do you really want a Tim Hortons?
No, I just mean the name. I just like the name. All right.
If they brought poutine,
I'm alone on this one, apparently.
So much poutine. All of the poutine.
Oh, my God.
And some Vegemite.
I think the Old Spice guys need to do a commercial for Sochi.
I'm surprised they're not already Russian. That's my shocking moment. It's like, oh, yeah. More
Old
Russian.
Spice?
More Russians in Old Spice commercials, like the Tim and Eric ones.
You know what would be amazing? Is if Edward Snowden showed up in an Olympics commercial and, like, very fleetingly, just to, you know, mock them.
If Eric Snowden showed up in an Old Spice commercial, the internet would break.
I know.
Or a GoDaddy commercial.
Like, he just needs to walk, not even draw attention to himself, just kind of walk by in the background, you know, see who's paying attention. And, you know, of course, since it will have likely been filmed, you know, days if not weeks before it was aired, then it's just going to confound them even more, and him and Carmen San Diego can go have a nice time wherever the hell they're holed up.
Actually, that'd be perfect. Have him wearing like the red San Diego hat, and then what he can do is he just goes, hi, I'm Edward Snowden, I'm in China, no wait, I'm in Russia, no wait, I'm in the Philippines, no wait, I'm just kidding, still in Russia. And then like have the Old Spice switch ups where it's all the one take where all of a sudden it's like the background shatters and like it's like suddenly Russia, that he's like in like the Andes or something like that, and then he's back and he's like, no wait, I'm back in San Francisco, just kidding, I'm back in Russia.
JK.
Yeah, I think my favorite thing I've ever seen on the internet is a picture of Carmen Sandiego walking one way looking over her shoulder, and a picture of Waldo walking the other way looking over his shoulder, and I forget which one says it to the other one, but one of them says, I won't tell if you won't.
One of my favorite cartoons is one where it has Waldo at the bar and he just goes, everyone's always asking where's Waldo, no one ever says how's Waldo. How's Waldo?
Poor Waldo. Poor guy.
Like every time I hear the word
that fucking sweater
Snowden, every time I hear that, I kind of want to see like a meme on the internet where it has Ygritte from Game of Thrones and she just says, you know nothing, Eric Snowden. And then he's like, oh, all right, okay, all right,
Hakuna your tatas,
I've been to the wall.
So we talk about how Burger King is Hungry Jack in Australia. Waldo is actually called Wally in the UK. So where's Wally?
Where is he?
He's getting dapper.
Have you found him, have you?
Oh, there he is. Look, there he is.
He's at the pub. He crossed the street, you know, to avoid the bobby, and he got in the lift.
Wally's at the Winchester.
And
he'll have a pint. It'll all work out.
He took the lift to his flat.
Wally, what do you think about Hermione and Ron?
Oh, don't ask. No, JK's already pretty upset.
Nobody writes slash fic about McGonagall.
Well, that's where Downton Abbey comes in.
Oh, that's true.
Downton Abbey started as a Harry Potter fan fiction.
If only that
Much
were
like
true.
Twilight, but way better.
If only way that were true.
I hadn't been to Blush and Blue since Voodoo Donuts had opened, and it was pretty busy. I also hadn't been there since they opened up the other area section of it. In fact, maybe since it's been Blush and Blue, I haven't been there. Have you guys all been there before?
I've never been.
Never been? I think for a while they had a poker night there.
Yeah, they still do. And they have Kung Fu there now.
What? Oh, yeah, there's Kung Fu training.
What?
Yes.
I don't... This does not compute. I'm sorry. It... Okay.
Apparently, they expanded. There's a pool table and a stage, and they have karaoke there.
Hmm.
Lots of karaoke.
Oh, sweet fancy.
So much karaoke.
So much karaoke.
There's video.
Did you post anything of you?
No. No, sweet Jesus, no.
Your standard, like, Alanis Morissette, and what else did you do that night? There was...
I did Two Princes, and then I did Regulators. I did
I love Two Princes. That's a great song. Spin Doctor.
Oh, I thought you... Oh, I see. I took that as you saying two songs, Two Prince
songs. Oh, Two Prince songs. No, he means Prince songs. Two Princes by the Spin Doctor.
I was dusting for Prince on stage. That's what I meant. It's like two Princes.
Two Princes.
Two Princes. So it looks about the same, but they did have free voodoo donuts, and I haven't been into voodoo since they opened that place because it's been ridiculously busy.
Oh, yes.
The pride of Portland. And I can tell you, it tasted like donuts.
Well, here's the thing. I certainly understand the novelty of it because they seem, from what I've seen of pictures and Instagrams and who's its and what's its, you know, they take great pride in the presentation, and there's a certain aspect of creativity there. And I would certainly like to experience that for myself and indulge the whole donut, whatever. I refuse to stand in line for a donut.
I refuse to go through the trend where, remember how on 30 Rock they had that episode was like, we were at donuts, then we went to cupcakes, now we're back to donuts.
Yeah.
I feel like we just got there again, and I feel a little
I think
bit
you're
weird
right.
about that. Because like, we're happy that Dunkin' Donuts is back in town. We have Voodoo Donuts in Denver now, and I just don't care.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't have a huge sweet tooth, but, you know, every so often you're like, yeah, I could go for a donut. And if it happens to be, like, a groovy, interestingly shaped one, by all means. But not when there are people who are legitimately lining up for other important reasons and we're lining up for donuts. That just grinds my gears. I don't know.
It does remind me, though, that nothing attracts a line like a line. And even in this weather, it's like... line up outside.
I guarantee you there is probably still a line, even though it is literally negative degrees outside.
It'll be inside. But what's really interesting is, if you guys paid attention, which I'm sure you did, the place opened up the same time that recreational marijuana was being sold.
Huh.
Genius, Portland. Genius.
Well played.
Which I guess Portland's actually getting a treat from us, too. They're getting our Punch Bowl Social.
Oh.
So that's the cross-pollination. We get voodoo, they get Punch Bowl.
Okay.
Which is the same kind
enough.
Of crowd, right?
Yeah,
that's
sounds
exactly
just
the
same.
I was
going to
say, yeah, I don't know if there's enough douche tards up there in fucking Seattle or Portland.
Whoa.
Hold on.
Big difference.
Are you questioning the amount of douche tards in Portland?
No. Hipsters and douche tards are two different things.
Oh, do explain, please. Elaborate, good sir.
I'm talking about bros, you know, pop collars, Chaz. Yes, up, bruh.
That's what I did.
I did. I took my pizza shot. I'm fine.
Rob took his pizza shot. He's fine.
I'm
so
fine.
We all cheersed, and Rob held up his pizza and said, cheers.
No, I held up my can of Arizona tea. No product placement implied. And I then ate the pizza. They were unrelated incidents. Why am I defending myself to you? I love how every time we come back from a break,
I'm really defensive about the pizza.
I'm defending myself about my pizza intake. It's fine.
It's a little... I'm concerned, and yet I want to pick at it. It's just odd.
You're morbidly curious now, aren't you?
Yeah, it's just... I don't know.
Honestly, I think I don't like the dry rub. I like it sauced.
Wait, you like it sauced?
Shh.
He doesn't like me or him sauced. He likes it sauced. This is the weirdest pronoun game ever.
It's like trying to say something about a baby. It's like, it's beautiful. She's beautiful.
I call it
right.
She's beautiful.
So you like... him sauce? Do you like me sauce?
I was trying to make a pun, and it doesn't really work once you...
I don't like dry rub. I like it sauce.
I serve tables part-time, and this four-top had a kid sitting there in a little high top, and we were talking about it, and I said, yeah, she would get really pissed off if you did that. The mom and the dad both go, well, he wouldn't get pissed off at anything.
Awkward.
Whoops.
Pronoun game at the table.
That's why it's cool to say it, because you
just can't win in that situation. That's the whole
I don't know. See, you say it, and the first thing I hear is it puts the lotion on the skin, or else it gets the hose again.
Put the fucking lotion on the skin.
And I just go to a very dark place with that, and I just have to wait for Jodie Foster to rescue
now
me.
Now all I can think about is the girl at the bottom of the bowl just going, she puts the lotion on the skin.
That's right, you take it back.
She's like, she puts a lotion on her skin, you can just take that basket back right now, mister. It can take its basket back.
Two can play it this game.
Pronoun game.
That is not even remotely erotic or intriguing at all.
So while you guys are out smoking, I found out, I guess someone is redoing the America the Beautiful thing, but they're using like Klingon and other alien languages.
Yes.
That's awesome.
I had three people on my wall just post, they can't sing the national anthem in another language. Oh.
Right, too much pain. So, in regards to you guys outside and smoking, so CVS has announced they're going to stop carrying cigarettes
at all
their locations.
I think that is a very wise move for them because they are a pharmacy for health.
Exactly, that's what they said in the statement. We cannot have cigarettes in an establishment that caters to health and wellness. I'm paraphrasing, of course, but...
So are we going to actually see the resurgence of Woolworths? So there'll be like a soda jerk fountain with cocaine?
One can only hope.
Like, you know, for your toothache. From the abscess from the cigarettes.
I was reading in the Huffington Post how they were talking about the dollar stores picking up the slack on that one. I don't know how...
Dollar cigarettes?
Well,
I'm okay with this.
Wait, like, per? Or a pack? Like,
but not everything at the dollar store is a dollar.
Oh.
No, well, you have two...
There's that.
I have learned in the past couple of years, apparently there are dollar stores where everything is a dollar, and there's certain dollar stores where everything's not a dollar. And
Family Dollar?
I don't know which is which, honestly, but
Dollar store and Family Dollar do not...
Does that mean that they're just even prices? I don't really dollar store it up a whole lot.
Yeah, there are some, apparently, and I've been to both. I think Dollar Tree, everything's a dollar, and then, like, Family Dollar and the Dollar Store are not everything is a dollar.
Well, then... I think their names are misleading. Truth in advertising, people. Come on.
What is actually worth a dollar now?
I mean, quite a bit. I guess that's the thing. They kind of do the over-under if they're charging a dollar for everything. Like, some things are worth less than a dollar, and some things are usually worth more than a dollar. There's a whole bunch of articles out there on Yahoo and that sort of thing that'll tell you about, like, what to buy in the dollar store. Like, pregnancy tests. Or a bargain at the dollar store. Actually, I have to tell you. I have to tell you
story
about this.
Time.
So we, you know, we were waiting in line to go get some things at the pharmacy the other day, and I'm looking at this one shelf. There's like ankle braces, and then right next to ankle braces, there's paternity test, how to test your own colon for cancer, and then there's a box of, I mean, okay, so paternity test, colon cancer, pregnancy test, and it just kept on going down this line. Oh, home AIDS test, all in the same section. And I'm like, wow, that is quite the serious lineup going on. And it's like facing catty corner away from the diabetes testing section.
Did you see
I would not trust the results of anything I paid a dollar for.
I'm just picturing somebody wandering in and being like, home HIV test. Somebody walks in, they know, they like turn around like, nope, my diabetes is acting up. It's my diabetes.
I got the betas.
Got the betas, hold on.
Did you see the Craigslist ad for people trying to advertise that negative pregnancy test? You can purchase somebody's negative pregnancy test so that you can show it off. Oh no, I'm not pregnant at all. That sort of thing.
Like they're not going to know in 3 or 4 months anyway.
I'm
when
waiting
you start
for it
showing.
I'm waiting for the test finally to have Facebook integration. You peed on a stick. Sally Smith is now awaiting the results of pregnancy test. Sally's pregnant.
Like,
you forgot to turn off the Facebook option, the opt-in section. Did you properly sign up with the software? It was on the stick.
You might want to check your settings.
You gotta stop peeing on your iPhone.
Thanks, Zuckerberg. And then it shows up in your video in 10 years on that Facebook. Like, which was your most liked status? The part where I peed on the stick.
I refuse to do that movie thing. I think that's a silly idea.
All it really does is just does an algorithm and says, okay, here's your most liked post, whatever else.
I just think it's silly. Like, I don't know. You shouldn't... I mean, we all use social media, but... I mean, and sure, some of your posts may be more popular than others for whatever reason, but, like, I don't know. I don't think people should rate their experience based on that.
It's just a
their
site.
Social media experience or their human experience, for that matter.
I was less upset about those than everybody that posts, like, the live stream... meme of the day shit on Facebook. Like that, at least you know people are looking at their own video because they're curious about themselves. So what? But
what, they don't remember, you know, the big life-changing event that got so many
It's like a retrospective thing.
I have yet to watch mine. I don't think I'm gonna.
No, I mean, you don't need to. You have Facebook. You can go look at
I could just scroll back to 2005 when I joined and be like, oh, look at me. I was in college.
Do you guys still have your MySpace pages?
No.
I did,
got rid of that shit ages ago.
I did check on mine about a year ago, and it was still there. And I was like, holy crap, it's still there. That's amazing.
I really gotta check my MySpace inbox to see if anyone's posted up.
Justin Timberlake still knows I exist. That's important. One interesting thing that came out of social media this week was Twitter finally released earnings. So Twitter has announced that they are in fact profitable and still hacking along because they do advertising.
No, but
it's so much better than Facebook. I was thinking this past week, all right, so I mean, this has been a common theme for the past couple episodes as far as Facebook is concerned. But I think it's we're seeing kind of the death of people using Facebook on the regular because teens are kind of leaving it in droves because all their parents signed on. And I think we all got that feeling when parents start requesting you, then you know, wait a second, party's over, right? The adults showed up. So teens now were all about Snapchat. And actually, I say teens, but we're talking like early college kids at this point, right? Now use Snapchat. They don't really care about Facebook. And I knew this was serious when my sister was logging into my nephew's account to announce his engagement. So I was like, oh, well, that's pretty serious. And he's not doing it himself. Facebook is over. Snapchat took its place. Twitter was trying to take its place with the adult set. Twitter's doing a pretty good job at it, it looks like.
Twitter bought Snapchat. No, they did.
I thought Snapchat remained solvent.
Pretty sure that they bought.
Because I thought Facebook offered them money, and then they turned it down. I mean, it was 20-some-year-old kids turning down several $1 billion, which was amazing. But
are you kidding? I would have leapt at that. I mean, if I were in that
situation.
No,
they believe the brand's pretty strong because Facebook tried to make their own and couldn't do it. So then they offered a lot of money for it. My understanding is Twitter hadn't gotten it yet. I don't think those people are in a place that they're going to accept anything at this point. Because if you turn over $2 billion down, you're probably not waiting for the next thing out there. They think they're going to make their own run of it. But I get
nervous now because Alex is picking up his phone. I'm like, what are you up to?
He's Snapchatting. He's drawing pictures of cats on you. That's what he's doing. Internet.
Well, it's the magic of technology. You can draw cat faces on your friends.
Forbes has confirmed that Snapchat turned down $3
billion. $3
billion. $3 billion.
So maybe that's what I remember during the offer was there.
Yeah.
Billion.
With a B, yeah. And if anybody's ever done that, you need to go... write out $100,000 enough times till you get to $3 billion and then figure out what that looks like and just think, oh, wow, that's a lot of cash for 20-somethings to turn down. That's retirement for life. So Twitter, Snapchat, all this fragmenting of the social media things out there, do you think it's going to be something where these kids are going to come back around and all of a sudden become nostalgic about their old classmates and check on them again because they're not available on Snapchat anymore? Or do you think they're going to leave it alone?
Ooh.
No, I think that's why Facebook is going to...
Well, I mean,
continue to be there. Whether or not it's going to be the powerhouse anymore,
mm-hmm.
but it'll still be there. It's not going to be like MySpace.
Different people use Facebook for different reasons. Some people are, it is that nostalgia. It is just that keeping in touch with people, family, friends who are further away, and they don't really get on it except for that reason. And then there are the people who are literally checking it every 15 seconds. Like, oh my god, I just had a sandwich. Oh my god, I just walked down the hall. Oh my god, my coworker just said I look nice today. Oh my, you know, like, you've got that huge, you know, range of users, that spectrum of how people engage with it. And I feel like that's ultimately going to determine not just the future of Facebook, but just the future of social media. Like, who flocks to what for what reason? Because everybody has... you know, or not even Facebook, but whatever their guilty pleasure social media is, everybody has that outlet,
basically
whether
anything,
they want to admit it or not.
Basically anything except Google Plus, I think people use.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
So, you know, I think that is going to determine, you know, by and large, where we go from here. If there is that next big thing on the horizon, or if it does, I'll just splinter off into some people go to this one, some people go to that one, some people... I mean, the quote-unquote, the next Facebook could be just around the corner and we wouldn't know it.
Yeah, and actually, I'm really impressed. I took Facebook off my phone a while back, but I finally downloaded their paper app this week. And has anybody else here used it?
Uh-uh.
It's pretty cool. Like, you actually have like a feed at the very beginning, which is all the Facebook stuff. But then after you get past all the Facebook stuff, then all of a sudden you've got the news, which I care a lot more about. And it's actually pretty carefully curated. Like, there's I've got headlines, I've got tech, I've got enterprises, and then I've got like a pop culture one and creative stuff in there. And it's picking stuff from all over the web from places I respect, like Ars Technica and Wall Street Journal and all sorts of different locations.
I've seen something like this, yeah.
And that's pretty cool. And if it's curated by the company itself, that means they're now paying people to actually go out there and do the web crawling. So that means they're finally figuring out a way to spill into kind of Reddit territory.
Sure.
And other things like that.
So I bought a tablet today. Oh. I bought a tablet today because Facebook was taunting me. They know exactly what I was looking for on the interwebs, and that's kind of scary.
Really? Because Facebook keeps trying to set me up on dates with women, so I'm pretty sure the algorithm is fucked.
It's not flawed, no, it's fucked.
It's like, hey, Rob?
With four U's, and maybe an extra C or K.
Like somewhere in Facebook headquarters, like, ah, Rob must love the ladies. He's posted about Lady Gaga again. And Jennifer Lawrence.
Hey.
I bet he loves the Jennifer Lawrences.
I can't tell you the last time I posted about either of them. I'm just saying, I don't know how they derive that kind of information. But go on with the taunting, because clearly it's working for some people.
Until it's broadcasting something like, hey, Jeff, your blood alcohol level is 0.08. Maybe you shouldn't go driving.
You're not allowed to log into Facebook.
Don't log into Facebook.
Either way, I bought the tablet basically because I saw a couple ads. It's the Asus Mimo sort of thing. It's only $150, and it's apparently just slightly less snappy as the Nexus 7. So I'm not worried about falling asleep on it and then elbowing it and cracking the screen, as I am wont to do with other handheld devices.
Yeah, you can break like four of those before you bought an iPad, so that's pretty good.
Yeah.
No complaints there.
No, definitely not.
Too bad you can't buy insurance on those things, so can you?
Yes, you can.
Oh. You can.
I already broke my tablet from Christmas, like 2 weeks after Christmas.
How the hell did you break it?
You poor bastard.
Well, I was in a cab.
This is why he's so bitter. We finally figured it out.
Exactly. A month worth of bitterness.
Steve-O, preach on. What kind of tablet was it?
It's an Acer Iconia, which my mom got off of QVC. Really? Yeah, no. Laugh away.
No, do people still buy stuff from QVC? Yeah. I didn't realize QVC was still a thing.
Every 6 months, my mom calls me. She's like, hey, so what do you think about, you know, it's this workout thing. I'm like, Mom, you've got like five of those workout things over the past 2 years that are just sitting there. You're not even using it. Like, I know, but this one is better.
It's like P90X with a guitar. It's amazing.
I would do that.
I hear that Bruno Mars does that.
Electronic dance music for P90X. Done. Just, you have to take Molly before you start working out.
Just take a lot of drugs and the workout works for some reason. Like, we've got the perfect workout. It's going to be the Walter White workout. You know, it's basically like, smoke this meth, that's it.
The pounds will just melt away.
Although I'm sure there's somebody, again, in Oklahoma that's going to prove me wrong on that. So, it's like, nope, people of Walmart.
Like the guy who ate nothing, not the Super Size Me guy, but some science teacher in one of the middle states. Did one of those like Super Size Me diets, but ended up losing weight.
Oh yeah, guy in Wyoming.
Not a middle state.
Well, it's kind of a middle state, depending on how you look in America.
I was just diets, man. Fuck them. I have my pizza. That's all I need.
Here's my thing about that. Yeah, if you eat 1,000 calories a day, you're gonna lose weight. Doesn't matter what the fuck you're eating.
Right.
You're not gonna maybe losing muscle. I mean, I'm sorry, fat. It's gonna be a lot of muscle too, and your blood chemistry is going
to
be off.
Eventually the scurvy gets to you. That's the trick.
You need to eat more oranges.
Somebody was talking about how they got scurvy because they were eating ramen every day. And so they started getting the nickname Pirate. I got the scurvy.
Is that still a thing?
Scurvy? Yeah. It's just vitamin C deficiency.
Well, right, but I mean, you never hear about it anymore. You know.
You need to keep eating pizza there, Rob.
Hey, I eat... Not only do I eat plenty of vitamin C, but I also take a multivitamin for those days when I don't quite get around to my fruits and veggies the way I want to. That's what my multivitamin is.
So that's the lesson there for the poor college kids. If you're going to eat ramen every day, multivitamin it up. Several.
Yes.
Crush them up. Just put it right in the ramen itself.
Right with the flavor packet.
Flavor pack. Hey,
wait. Or the Flintstone ones.
Marketing opportunity here. Multivitamin ramen packets. Good idea or greatest idea?
I'm leaning toward greatest.
I'm still thinking about Brogurt.
Get out!
Brogurt, all protein, all the time. You got your yogurt, bro? No, I got my Brogurt.
You are so fired.
There is so much caffeine in this, I want to work out even more.
It's got caffeine, it's got taurine, it's got so much protein, my eyes bleed. Ah! Brogurt.
saw the best product pun the other day. Somebody posted a thing about Batman shampoo for kids, and then they said, "Where's Conditioner Gordon?" And I almost died laughing. The tears.
No more tears. No more tears. Right?
Yes. So every so often you get a good product pun that just makes you go, yes, shut up and take my money. And on that note.
So I am a big fan of graphene. It's this wonder material that's one monolayer, atomic monolayer of carbon. But there was this post, I was just searching the internets for graphene, different products, because I get a little OCD in the middle of the night. But they were saying that graphene condoms will be coming into the play in the future.
I think you need to educate everybody on what graphene does exactly.
Graphene is a...
I'm sorry, spell it? Graphene?
G-R-A-P-H-E-N-E.
Okay, graphene.
Graphene is a one monolayer sheet of carbon, like I said before, but it also has it has ultra-capacitor capabilities, but it also conducts heat very well. So I was watching this video where somebody had a graphene shard, and they were cutting through ice simply by placing their weight on the ice on the graphene and allowing their body heat to conduct through it. So you get that wonderful heat transfer. So they were talking about...
Wait.
So that's one great function about graphene, but it's also about, what was that, 9 times stronger than diamond?
And diamonds are forever.
Indeed. No holes. No pokey poke. So they're saying that the future condom is going to be graphene.
Made of graphene?
Yeah.
It's like,
sound very flexible.
I like to do it how my forefathers did. I'd kill a rabbit and take its hide.
No, it's not rigid. It's ultra flexible, but it retains its form and it reshapes itself back into monolayer.
Well, we know it's not going to be popular everywhere until they finally put it in the Ziploc paper bag or the Saran wrap as a universally accepted condom.
Isn't the same stuff that retains it? It has essentially muscle memory in the metal.
Kind of, yeah. Except that
disassemble it and it'll just go boom, and it'll just pop right back into place.
It's ultra strong and it's also ultra flexible, and they're looking at it as something that they're going to do portable like display devices, so that you can have a cell phone that you can flex in your pocket.
That's insane.
With an OLED display.
That is insane.
So that would be the substrate for the OLED. Then you can actually roll them up, roll your TV up, and you can have a wall, and then when you're ready, just roll the TV down.
Quish, can I get trampoline made of graphene as OLED?
That would be
that
awesome.
Would be amazing. You
can make it look like there's a cliff there, yeah? Or just space, that you're just bouncing on
I'm
space.
Jumping over the Grand Canyon, which may or may not have been created by the Great Flood. Yay!
Oh,
callback humor, you funny bastard.
And it has come full circle.
Like, you can make your house start looking like anything, like Predator House. Like,
yes.
House disappears. House comes back up. House disappears. Oh, pixels out.
But the other thing about graphene, though, and the reason why graphene is so awesome, is because if you use it in a battery, it charges in 20 seconds. So you can have a cell phone that gets its full charge in about 20 seconds as opposed to charging for
like 2 hours.
I'm just picturing like super metal, like the whole adamantium thing. Like, it's the perfect metal. It's everything. So you can have an OLED condom, a trampoline, like your whole house can be made out of this stuff. And is it toxic? I mean,
it's just pure
is it waterproof?
Carbon. The other thing though is that
it sounds really expensive to make.
Actually they can make it right now using nothing more than a Blu-ray DVD and a the things on the spindle, that big plastic clear one.
Mm-hmm.
So you place the liquid on there, and the scientist got the Nobel Prize basically by making graphene using the DVD laser.
See, now why couldn't they have had a spirited debate about the future implications of this wonder substance?
You know, that's actually a more important point. Maybe we need fewer creation museums and more about more Epcot Center type things, like what's the future doing? The only problem is,
please.
Once you build the future in a museum, you may as well have just built the future.
Google just built the future museum.
I am high-fiving
on a boat.
You.
Google is taking over the world. I feel like they're turning into, what's the, on Terminator, the company?
Skynet.
Skynet, yeah.
Skynet. What's funny, we talk about, you know, Facebook looking like they're losing it, then they come out with something with paper that looks good. And Apple does a little bit of the same thing. Like, they wait long enough that when they finally reveal it, at least it's done. And Google, I feel like you get to see kind of the weird ragged edges every once in a while. But it's still kind of creepy.
They're buying up robotics companies.
Cylons. They want to make the Cylons.
Did I tell you guys about what Google did? They started this initiative called Calico, where they're trying to figure out...
Is that a code name for something?
Yes, it is.
Are they breeding electronic cats?
Yeah, they're breeding electronic sheep.
Ah.
Yeah.
Do androids dream of electronic sheep?
It's the whole idea of they're trying to figure out what causes aging and how to reverse it. And also health implications. And it's... I don't know, man.
Google.
It's either going to be really good or it's going to be really bad.
Google trying to eliminate taxes and death at the same time.
Look at them go.
Google's got a boat now. They've got a... Yeah, they bought a yacht so they could turn it to a museum, and I halfway suspect that the yacht's going to fly in the future, and we're going to go into the magical Google cloud.
Oh, so the fact that they got this announcement this week, they had to remove that thing out of the Bay Area, is it just going to float up in the air?
Yes.
Is that what they've been waiting for? They've been waiting for, like, the whole cease and desist, like, you can't park your barge there, sir. And then they're like, okay, fine. The barge just, like, flies up like in Star Trek V. It's like,
wait,
we came here for a blue whale.
That was number four.
Oh, sorry.
Get it right.
It was
the
Andes.
Four was the voyage home, which was with the whales in San Francisco, and Spock swearing, and it was wonderful. Five was
the Undiscovered Country.
No, that was six.
Really?
Yes.
We're not having this debate here. I know. Go home, Scully. But so
fine.
So do we think, like, Google is the beginning of the Federation or something, or is it like
no more sinister than that? You know they've been data mining us. In fact, North Korea forgot to charge them.
Whoops.
Like, that was one of the future invoices. That was, exactly. They forgot to charge them for their data mining in South Korea. And it was like, oh, wait, we forgot about this. Ledger, pay now, Google. Thank you.
Huh.
You pay now.
So, all this information is out there now, but there's, like, no knowledge or wisdom behind it. So I think we're all kind of worried about, oh yeah, we now have a bunch of idiots in charge of a whole massive amount of data that could be interpreted any way we want. But weren't we kind of in that position before anyway?
I'm just saying, what was a 19th century version of data mining?
Making up stories? Because that's basically how I feel data mining looks.
Rumors.
Yeah, there you go. Rumors.
Yeah. Murmurs. Yeah, the guy, what's the name of the guy that was standing in the square and he would talk shit about the establishment and everyone would come and gather around and listen to him?
Oh, the village idiot. No.
Well, I guess my thought with it this way is, if we're gathering all this information that's supposedly truthful, and at any point in time we could have also just made information up and misinterpreted the wrong information, we can misinterpret correct information. Isn't the misinterpretation that actually ruins us, not the information itself?
Yes.
And since we can already generate information without having any actual facts, how does this change anything?
This is what I think. That's a good question, but... one that you could really visit, and this could be another topic for another time, that's also on the deep level. With the way that the information world is traveling now, where we don't need to know useless facts, we can just look them up immediately, is that going to make us smarter, or is it going to make us dumber? Is it going to allow us time to gain wisdom and knowledge, or is it going to take away from something and just make it to where we're just a bunch of fucking idiots walking around? Because I think that it's going to make it to where you get to a point where you start philosophizing and everybody's, now you're really looking at and using your brain for something other than just, a hard drive.
Yeah, like sunlight always exposes things, right? So if you have more facts, you can eventually do something good with the facts. But if you have no facts, you can't do anything with them. Mm-hmm.
I look at the dim side of humanity in which the 3D printer comes out and then all of a sudden we're using it to build dildos.
And on that note, we'll wrap up another week of PortableChicken.com Shotgun Therapy. I'd like to thank everybody for coming out this week.
Pleasure.
We hope that Rob will seek counseling for his addiction.
Pizza, my dear Jeff, is the least of my problems.
The first step is admitting it.
First
step's
admitting
it. I happily admitted it earlier, did I not?
Yeah, you did.
Mm-hmm. Fuck true. You. Fuck you. No, I love you guys. You're awesome.
Steve-O, thanks for stopping by once again.
Yes, sir.
We always enjoy the perspective and the doomsaying. It's important.
Steve-O,
doomsayer.
Actually,
but has
Doom?
He seen the wall?
Steve Doom.
Steve Doom.
John Snee.
And Alex, thanks again for mixing everything up for us. And, well, you're driving up the mountain tomorrow, right?
Yeah, I'm going to Breckenridge.
You lucky bastard.
Well, I know you're not skiing, so, pour one for the rest of us. Yeah.
I intend to be sad.
Pour some pizza out for me, will you?
I will.
Okay.
I will, but just for you.
And that's another week, everybody. Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Bye. I'm not real for you. Who cares? You love it. I don't really need to know what you do. You can look, but try not to give it. No, here's what we need is, yeah. No, it's fine. I didn't have lunch. And I only ate half of it, and I'm probably not going to have the other half until, like, later.
Unlike his alcohol, Rob is really sensitive about his pizza. And that's what we learned today.
Yeah, fuck booze. I would much rather have pizza. Fuck you all.
Alcoholic pizza?
Pizza. Oh, genius. Oh, my God. Pizza makes me so much happier than booze, but that is a really good idea.